Blog Talk Radio.
Tonight, we are speaking of health naturally. Stay with us. We'll be back in a couple of minutes. Our roots began in Africa, where we enjoyed self-determination and freedom, which were rooted in our sovereignty. Peace, family. Welcome to Dare to Win, the Us Lifting Us weekly radio program that airs every Thursday evening from 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Dare to Win is the place where we have sobering conversations about the economic plight of Black people and the imperative that we build the global economic machinery, free us, and once again put us on the path of making history. We, at Us Lifting Us, have developed an exact methodology on how to build this global machinery and pass it forward to our children and future generations. To join tonight's conversation, please call 929-477-2789. Press the number 1 on your phone when you want to make a comment or ask a question. If you prefer to listen on your computer, go to www.uslistingus.com. Scroll down to the bottom of the homepage, click on the Dare to Win button, then click on Listen Live. You will be on the Blog Talk Radio site at that time. If you want to get reminders from Blog Talk Radio for upcoming Dare to Win programs, please click on the follow button. ULU members, we have our own social media community. Please join if you have not already done so. There is a Dare to Win group, and we would like to have your feedback on past Dare to Win programs, as well as topic suggestions for future programs. I'm Sister Q, and joining me for this evening's discussion is Brother Thurman, who, like me, is a member of UBU. Peace, Brother Thurman. How are you doing tonight?
Peace, Sister. I am good because I'm in good company with you and the rest of the sisters and brothers around the world.
It's good to have you here with us, Brother Thurman. So, speaking on health naturally, what do you want to share tonight, Brother Thurman?
A variety of things, and it's important, as you said a little while ago, that there's so many things that we don't talk about. We've got to have the courage to talk about it. It's necessary for us to get clarity and to go forth with clarity and achieve our liberation and maintain that. And natural health is a big one because it affects the spirit, the mind, and the body, not just the body. And I would start to say, go ahead, you had a point you want to make?
No, I was just going to say, go ahead. I was just agreeing with what you said.
Yes. And I was reminded in the last few minutes of a song that the stylistics are either the Delphonics, but the words say, put your heart in your hand and you'll find that love comes easy. And there's a real deep message there. And if we put natural health into our mind and into our life, we would find that being healthy comes easier, much easier than the ones that's on the path that they have successfully committed nutricide or nutritional destruction against themselves, and they have successfully got the consistent results, and that is high blood pressure, diabetes, and kidney dialysis, and so much more, colon cancers. It's all avoidable. It's so much easier once we go back to our natural roots. And I'm looking at a copy of Dick Gregory's book from the 70s. It says, Dick Gregory's Natural Diet for Folks Who Eat Cooking with Mother Nature. Cooking with Mother Nature. And in the book, it talks about the sun cooks an apple or orange. Don't need a pan. And when it's ripe, you just pick it and eat it. Cooking with Mother Nature. And that was a time that amongst the original African people, there was no pots and pans. And we did fine without that. And so I will go on. And on the subject of cooking, of speaking of health naturally, most everybody I know goes to the grocery store or either to a farmer's market. But this is a message that says, if the grocery store has a section for health food, then what is the rest of the store? If the grocery store has a section for health food, then what is the rest of the store? And the grocery stores that have a section for health food is very small.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you measure around the world, the people that are into natural health is so much easier. But yet, the majority of what's in the grocery store is for the ones that commit nutricide, nutritional destruction against themselves and against their people.
Mm-hmm.
And so it shouldn't be a surprise to us, and we've just got to get clarity that all of these ills, whatever they are, including the health ills of the body, mind and spirit included, is all solvable. But we've got to ingest the right ingredients and have clarity about that.
No doubt.
And so I want to go on, and we are in a state of emergency. War has been waged on us, and we've got to get busy in all areas. And one of the things that we've got to be prepared for is having us a survival plan that includes being able to that would include actually as much as possible to put away food and water and other things in a pantry or in a root cellar that would allow us that should, for whatever reason, the grocery stores close or whatever source you've been going to, that you've got mm-hmm. something that you could survive for a period of time. And there's people that's called preppers and other things, the survivalists. And some of these folks, for years and years, they've had 6 months or more of food and water and other things to survive off of. And we must be about that, and we must look at the things that we can put in our pantry and our root cellar that has a long shelf life, including mm-hmm. things like dried beans and lentils and salt. And salt is something that historically has been very, very valuable, like gold in a survival situation, because it could be used for so many things, including to help preserve food.
Mm-hmm.
And also it helps in managing radiation if there was some kind of a radiation attack. And honey, everybody is not into honey, but it's something that they have found in Africa that's thousands of years old, and it hadn't been exposed, and was still
mm-hmm.
in the things that I mentioned, like the dried beans and lentils, the salt, the honey, but the shelf life is at least 10 plus years. And as I said about honey, they found it in Africa that's been inside a tomb for a few thousand years.
Right.
And then we've got to get back in touch with nature. So like Dick Gregory's book talks about cooking with Mother Nature. We got to get back in touch with nature and go outside and get acquainted again with things like dandelion and cattails and pine nuts and bamboo, the parts that's edible, and asparagus and kelp and seaweed, and where we could find it as part of our survival strategy. And I said in the last couple of minutes that we got to have the courage. And there's things that we've got to be able to hear and got to have the courage and calmness to be able to hear it, and let it take a stroll through your mind and not just up and say, oh, no, you don't tell me that. And so one of the things I want to just touch on right now is the process of dealing with food, even though it would be to our advantage to make the majority of what you ate, especially plant-based, majority like 70 or 75% would be raw, and the rest of it cooked, but not all cooked, as so many people have in their lifestyle. But on the cooking side of things, we're dealing with the subject of utensils, including silverware, pots and pans. And this is something that it's all over the world, Africa included, if you're listening to what I'm saying, it would just kind of rattle their brain. And that is the pots and pans that in so many places in Africa, Caribbean, and the U.S., out of aluminum, out of stainless steel, not talking about glass and not talking about high-quality ceramic and not talking about cast iron, but the pots and pans that's made out of aluminum and stainless steel, most people have never thought about it, haven't looked it up. Is there a toxicity in there? Is. So, for example, with aluminum pots and pans, the aluminum, when you stir, and acidic food helps to get more of it out, it gets in the food, and actually little microscopic pieces of it, when you stir in with whatever kind of spoon, it's actually scraping some of it off into the food. And among the things that happens with the aluminum, it gets into the food, and it affects people's brain function, Alzheimer's, for example. And you can look this up. And there's a 2021 report that says that aluminum pots and pans has been banned in 6 European countries. And they found that the vegetables cooked in these aluminum pots and pans produce hydroxide poison, which can produce stomach and gastrointestinal troubles such as ulcers and colitis. So aluminum leaches into the cooking food. And what should we do about that? Go look it up for yourself. And then my vote would be, which is what I would do if I had just found this out today, I would take it to the recycling center and recycle it.
Mm-hmm.
And so it hurts me to see Africa, Caribbean, and in this land, people are just smiling and they're happy. They're cooking some food and they got a great big pot of that's aluminum, and I just shake my head. But it's because we don't know. And so what we got to do is break the cycle of not knowing, and we got to be so the universe and our capacity to learn is unlimited, and the knowledge that we've got to correct is unlimited. What we got to correct to get right, to get back to our natural mind. And stainless steel pots and pans, depending, there's number of variety of when it comes to stainless steel changes based on the nickel content. In a stainless steel pan, for example, that didn't have any nickel would tend to be less durable, and it didn't last as long. And nickel has a lot to do with stainless steel not rusting. But the nickel in stainless steel pans, as well as stainless steel utensils, it also can get into the food and cause nickel toxicity. And you can look this up. And one person that, you know, by name that you could look up, she was on the scene years ago, but she's now an ancestor. But her name is Hulda Clark, H-U-L-D-A, Hulda Clark. And she wrote about and talked about nickel toxicity, ills that it creates, and it does. And she did an experiment. It was probably in her book, one of her books. And the experiment was to take a table knife, when you set the table, that's made out of a nickel type stainless steel. And she said, take a clean table knife and take it and put it in a jar of mayonnaise, and then just gently wipe the excess off with your finger. Don't try to wipe it clean with a paper towel. But before you put it in the jar, put that knife in your mouth and see if it tastes metallic. And for the most part, it wouldn't. But when you put it in that mayonnaise and just wipe it off, you know, a little bit with your finger and put it back in your mouth, oftentimes it would have a metallic taste. But what does that indicate? Is that the acids in that mayonnaise is not good for you, has extracted some of the nickel into the mayonnaise and other items like mayonnaise. Nickel toxicity. Look it up. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of people go right ahead.
I was going to say, you know, you suggested that people get rid of the pots. And before people say, well, you know, pots are expensive, I can't afford to just throw away my pot and get cast iron or the glass pots or whatever, you don't have to get a new pot. You can get, you know, go to the Goodwill, go to secondhand stores. Sometimes they have pots that are in good repair. They're just, nobody wants them anymore. You clean them up good, and you have a pot that you can use. We think that we have to buy brand spanking new pots. And one of the things that we're not aware of is not everything that we buy in a box that we think is brand spanking new is brand spanking new. It's been used and in many instances recycled and just put in a new box. So you're paying good money for a new box. So you might as well go to Goodwill or the hand store.
Yeah, I get that. And one of the things that I thought about as you spoke about the secondhand places, you can find another problem area in the pans are Teflon clad and other coated pans. They could be made out of aluminum or stainless steel, but they put a coating that's supposed to be non-stick type coating. But for many, many decades, the Teflon and others, it scrapes off and it gets off into the food too. So it's another toxic thing. And if we want to be well, we want to get freed up, we have to be in the mindset to let go of these things. Don't get emotional. Don't get attached about it. Get excited to say, I want to be well. Or either just sang the song, Don't Worry, Be Happy, and eat it anyway and get sick and have high blood pressure and diabetes and kidney dialysis and all of that stuff. And that's insane. You have to be out of your African mind to be okay with that. And so I want to go into something else, and that is we have a responsibility to be well and to keep the ecosystems of this planet and the universe well. And there's people that's around that they're not doing that. They happen to destroy the ecosystems of this planet and the universe, and they're doing a powerfully destructive job at it. And we've got to make sure that we don't go along with that. And the land, when we are treating the land properly and using clean organic matter as in our soil, it produces clean, nutrient-rich food, which keeps us healthy and not diseased. And we got to be honest about this reality, and we got to do something about it. Something to be proud of is in Rwanda, in Africa. Rwanda is said to be one of the cleanest cities. I forgot exactly which city it is, but anyway, it's one of the cleanest cities in Africa and probably on the planet. And they've done away with plastic bags, and they a few. Some years ago, they had actually declared, and I don't know if they still do it, one day of a week, that in the downtown area of this city, no cars are driven around. People can only walk. But it's just a testimony to what we can do when we say we're going to break free of the plastics and the microplastics that they're now finding, not just in the placentas, but also it's floating around in the blood of the bodies of people and all living things because of plastic. And it's against life. It's anti-us. And another thing that we got to go forward with is that and recognize that voluntarily polluting the earth and beyond through ignorance or a destructive mindset is never acceptable. Food grown where there's a land, where there's landfill trash along with the use of toxic chemicals in the growing and maintenance of food is a huge horror story that's real. And I bring that up because for years I have seen, and including recently, where people are growing food to make available to the people, to the public, that there's landfill trash readily identifiable around the growing area. And it's happening in more places than we know about, because you'd have to go all over the planet to see how many horror stories there are, not just trash and plastics and gasoline and oil and things like that, but also the so-called necessary chemicals that's used in farming, and it's not necessary. It's because they have abused the land before. The invaders came into Africa. Africans were doing well in terms of having sustainable foods. And when the invaders came in, they came up with this concept of growing all of these rows of certain things and helped to deplete the soil. And they continued with the depletion of the soil. And then they think that the bright idea is that because I have depleted the soil, I come up with some chemical formula that will make the seed grow, but it's not nourishing. And so you can grow in a container of organic matter, ideally out in the yard, of organic matter that's rich in microbes and earthworms. And if it was a carrot, for example, years ago, one of the natural health writers said that that could be 5 to 15 factors, which is a measurement of the nutrient value of a carrot that you grew versus one out of the grocery store, meaning yours could be 5 to 15 factors higher in nutrients. And we're doing it to ourselves to be okay with consuming the nutrient-dead food. And so it's like Dr. Africa's book, Nutricide, the Nutritional Destruction, is the result of eating the dead, devitalized food, the sugar, the meat, and the lard stuff. And That horror story of the landfill waste, plastic trash and gasoline, when you talk about things like gasoline and oil and the earth, they've done studies of how far down will gasoline and oil, gasoline is poured on the earth, and they found it to be as deep as 100 to 200 feet, and they've even had findings where it was 1,600 feet down, and, you know, which, anyway, there's some aquifers, you know, there's 100 to 200 feet, and the things that people are pouring on the land, and I have witnessed years ago a man with a tractor beside his well changing a fuel filter, and when he took the fuel filter out, gasoline was spilling on the ground, and he was confident that that gas would never get down to his well, and I just shook my head, and I didn't try to say any more to him about it. But we got a responsibility to do something about it. And when we got all of these contaminated soils, then there's a question of what do we do about it? And like I said, everything is solvable, but one of them is called soil remediation. But soil remediation can be a very costly process, depending on how much it is. It could be, you know, with a big track hole with a big bucket on it and dump trucks, just depending on the size of the land or the lot, it could be taken away. But otherwise, you know, there's various ways that they try to cleanse the soil and all that. But ideally, we got to stop doing that. And there are some plants, including sunflowers and some others, that, including hemp, that will actually have something to do with helping to get the earth to draw some of the toxins and toxic metals and other chemicals out of the soil into the plant. And I wouldn't recommend that you eat them when they do that, but it's a way of helping to bring life back into the soil. And we got to start with all of this land to stop polluting the land with chemicals and all of those things. I want to stop, and you might have somebody that's got a question or comment.
We have somebody with a question or comment. Let me open the mic. Caller with the last four digits, 3440. Please state your name, where you're calling from, make your comment, or ask your question. Thank you.
Greetings, Sister Q and Brother Thurman. This is Brother Shabaka calling from South Florida. I'm telling you, I'm enjoying the information that the brother is sharing. But I want to remind the listeners, you know, because some of us sometimes, you know, say, well, yeah, that's okay. Ain't got to worry about that. The brother is laying out a lot of stuff, and you need to pay particular attention if for some reason you're not paying attention. Because if we take a look historically at the diseases that have popped up in our lifetime, I'm talking about our lifetime, you know, some of these things we had never heard of. And you have to say, well, why is that? All right, so the convenience of imitating white folks may not necessarily be good for our health. All right, so we need to go back to the things that we used to do. In particular, I'm reminded, Sister Q and Brother Thurman, of the story of when I was in Africa, brother man had gotten a fancy stove for his mother to cook, you know, nice, convenient, you know, up-to-date stove. And so he came home from work and found her cooking outside where she naturally cooked. And he said, Mama, what you doing? He says, I bought this stove for you, you know, for a few a few hundred bucks then. You know, she said it didn't taste right. You know, it didn't cook right. Right. So, I'm saying that to say that, you know, when we look at it, brothers and sisters, you know, when you really get down to it and examine your motivation, really you're trying to imitate white folks. And why is that? Because we see them on TV. You know, we see them in the news with their high utensils and what have you. And so we think that it's good because, you know, we always say that, you know, the white boy's ice is colder than anybody else, but not necessarily. So, yeah, all of the things that you brought out, brother, is extremely important, and we must become a little bit more serious now as a consequence of food shortages that is taking place. Now, there's enough food in the world to feed the 8 billion people that we have. We got enough food. In fact, they can do that here in the United States, can feed everybody in the world. All right, now, you know, with the soil, as you mentioned, we might not necessarily want things to grow in that soil, but we have sufficient land, if the soil was right, to be able to feed everybody in the world. Although in feeding everybody in the world, we have to deal with pesticides, all kind of sides, all right, and non-organic material, and then, you know, waste from factory runoffs and a whole bunch of other stuff that pollutes our stuff. And as you said, using the utensils, aluminum, and a number of other metal that get involved or get that contaminates the food that we're doing, we have to become extremely mindful of that. And you have to say, well, all right, so everybody gets sick, so I go to the hospital. Well, so you go to the hospitals. All right, well, that's good. You go to the hospitals to die. That's what they're there. You know, the hospitals is not to give you proper health care. The hospitals there is to manage sickness. Yeah. All right? Mm-hmm. If you don't believe me, well, all you got to do is look at, and, you know, we've been doing a lot of shows on health recently. Well, there's a reason why we're doing a lot of shows on health care and the plandemic and have you, because we know in order to have a workforce, we got to have healthy people. We can't have a workforce with people half dead. All right, so we're going to be giving that. That's Ulu's gift to the family. We got to say everything to make you healthy because it's you who we depend on. But I was saying, if you think that the hospitals is such a good treatment, you know that when you went to the hospital, supposedly if you got tested positive with a false positive test, all right, and then you got sick, they put you on a ventilator. All right, all you got to look at, you know, this is not Chewbacca saying this. This is you can look this up for yourself. 80%, not 20%, not 30%, not 5%, 80% of the people that were placed on ventilators who tested positive and got sick with COVID died. That means the survival rate was 20%. You know, and I mean that's pitiful. You know, you place on an instrument, and then if they didn't place you on a ventilator, they gave you remdesivir. You look at the survival rate of the antiretroviral drug. All you got to do is look at the inside certs of any of the medication that they give you. I don't care if it's Tylenol. Look at the inside certs that tell you that what they're giving you is poison. So you can't go to the hospital because they're giving you poison to manage sickness. They manage sickness so that they can profit from the managing of the sickness. I know I've been long, but, brother, you just motivated me from the things that you've been sharing, and I don't want the family to go to sleep, you know, because bad days are coming. If you thought they were bad now, we got bad days are coming, and the brother's trying to enlighten you of the things we need to do in order to survive. Thanks a lot for giving me the opportunity to talk.
Thank you, Brother Chewbacca. Thank you. We have another caller, Brother Thurman.
Yes.
Caller with the last 4 digits, 8189. Please state your name, where you're calling from, make your comment or ask. And thank you.
Good morning, family. This is E. Malachi calling from Wake Forest, North Carolina.
Peace, Brother.
Just want to let you guys know I am excellent. Thanks for asking. I don't have too much to say because a lot of jewels are being dropped, and I'm going to continue to listen to the jewels. I do want to echo one thing, and that is you can't have a workforce with half-dead people. That's all I want to echo. I'm listening.
That's true.
Thank you for giving me a chance to speak.
That's true.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay.
Yes. And I thank both of the callers, and the brother said, you know, what everybody said, including about the pandemic and the hospitals. We need to stay out of them. And as the brother just said, we can't have a workforce with half dead people. In this, speaking of health naturally, and also in line with us lifting us in the advancing with the cooperative economics that all of us must embrace, among the things that we got must do, have to do in order to be successful with our cooperative economics and us lifting us with its flagship model, which would be Hulu Mart's all over the planet, you know, which would be something as big as a Walmart or Home Depot and 150,000 square feet, but it would have a space for black farmers to bring their food in a problem area when it comes to farming and growing food right now is people to come out there to work. They're well, mentally, spiritually, mentally, and physically well. It's so much easier to solve that issue. But if the people are not well, then you know, they're not there to work, or they've got illnesses and phobias in their mind against being out in the sunshine and all of those things. So I just wanted to touch on that. It's necessary, as the brother said, that we are well. And so then what should we do? We should embrace everything that will help keep us well. And that means the food, the water, the air, the sunshine, the moon, and all of those things I just said are essential to our wellness, and our ancient ancestors knew that. Not just what you put in your mouth, but what you breathe, how deeply you breathe, and the energies of the sun and the moon and the other universal sources, and reclaim those things as part of our wellness. And just like on the wellness path of natural health, there's conversations about things such as vitamin D. The ideal source of vitamin D and more is not in a pill, but it's in the outside, in the sunshine, which is another challenge. It's not difficult once you get your head focused and don't get attached with artificial ways that you have been bamboozled and socialized into bringing into your life. We should have the sunshine on us every day, and we should naturally have the sunshine on every part of our body from head to toe and in between our legs included. And so as a brother titled as the Master of Earth, a very wise brother, he says that most people, except when they are infant, the only time that the sun shines on their genitals was when they was an infant. And then they lived the rest of their life, and whatever number of years that they lived, the sun never shined there. But the creator or Mother Nature designed us to have the sun shine on our entire body. It designed sisters to have the sun shine on their breasts, and the sisters' nipples tend to be darker than their breasts. And partly was to knowing that sisters who are mothers and motherly and breastfeed, that when they're outside in the sunshine, that extra melanin on her nipples would make sure that the nipples didn't get hard or whatever, so that it would be difficult for the baby. It was just some protection, knowing that she was designed by the creators and by the Earth Mother to be outside all the every day, not sometimes.
And, you know, speaking of that, Brother Thurman, you know, the cultures where women are encouraged or discouraged from letting their skin be exposed to the sun, they find that women there in those societies and those cultures have a lot of diseases that are basically the result of lack of sunshine, you know.
I agree with that.
So we have to look at cultural and traditional habits that are detrimental to the health of us as well. And
yes, we do.
As you said, throw in the dustbin of history the ones that are not encouraging us toward wellness and good health.
Yes. So we've got to regroup our entire thinking about we should be wearing less clothes, and certainly in that subject, in wearing clothes, we need to get rid of all restrictive clothes, whether it's bras, underwear, socks, or whatever. And that's why people would just wear socks for a day and come home and take them off and look at your ankles and see if you don't see some lines or some ribs where the sock was.
Mm-hmm.
But it's choking off your circulation. And none of our body was intended to be choked off and have poor circulation, the breast included. You know? And so we've got to get rid of thinking that restricts us in thinking and in dressing, behaving, whatever, that restricts us and causes poor circulation. And so people are having problems with their feet. But when we were outside walking on the earth and walking, stepping on sticks and stones and rocks, we were getting foot massages. And anybody that wanted to experience, you know, the benefit of a foot massage, go to somebody and let them massage your foot. It wouldn't take but a few minutes when you feel a difference in yourself and make you say, wow, because I have done it to people. And another way you could do it, if you got a gravel driveway or somebody that got one, even if you have socks on and take your shoes off, walk in the gravel for a few minutes, even though you're not used to it, and then go sit down for a few minutes and see how you feel in a few minutes afterwards. And I've told that to people, and they tried it, and they were amazed at how they felt, because when you're walking barefooted amongst rocks and things like that, it's pressing on points that's on the bottom of your feet, just like they are on your hands, that stimulates all of your organs in your body. And there's people that have healed different issues with certain organs in their body from stimulating those points on the feet and on the hand.
Right.
And so it's so many things that, and when I was talking about stainless steel and nickel-based utensils, the natural alternative to that would be wood. And there are some plant-based utensils that are biodegradable, that's made like plastic, but they were made from plants like corn and other plants, and they readily break down in the soil because they're not plastic. But
yeah,
the metal, the people just have to, you know, get their courage and let go of their attachment that they could break free of those things, because I personally almost never use metal utensils to eat with. And I don't eat a lot of complicated stuff anyway, because we were not intended to do that. You know, for the most part, you know, to have four or five different things that you mix together like a salad would be kind of the limit of how many things that you would ingest at one time, because there's a point where the body cannot maximize the nutrients in too many things at one time. And
right,
some things.
We have
yes, go right ahead.
Then I was going to say, finish what you were saying. We have a caller. I want to.
Yeah. So we've got to get on the high side of thinking about everything, and including and maximize on how we can maximize our wellness, and stop overeating, and when we have a discipline about eating and limit when you eat and how many times you eat, and actually ideally would be done with your eating for each day before the sun went down, that's in the direction of being more well and treating your body more well. So let's go to the caller.
Caller with the last four digits, 7204, please state your name, where you're calling from, and make your comment or ask your question. Thank you. Are you there? 7204?
Well,
okay.
Maybe they'll call back.
I'm sorry. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Yes.
I'm sorry. I had it muted. I'm sorry. Good evening, King and Queen. I'm Deborah Jones from Richmond, Virginia. How y'all this evening?
Mm-hmm. Great. How about you?
I'm doing okay. I wanted also to, I think we should make sure that people be very careful of where they get their food from. Okay. A lot of people are unable to get the right types of food. But for those who can, we need to be very careful because food is also used as a tool against us. We have to remember what happened to the black farmers with the wrong seed and everything that they had. We need to just be very careful about where we get our food. A lot of food right now, they're using different things in it, making people sick. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to be very, very careful. If we can cook our own food, that would be perfect. But a lot of people, you know, because of a different time now, it's not like it used to be where women are at home and they're cooking and everything like that. Women are working, and they really don't have time to cook like it used to be when our mothers was around. So, again, I wish we could just push that there'd be more people you know, more people are growing their own food, and just be careful when you're out here eating. And that's all I want to say.
Thank you. Thank you, sister.
Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, that's...
I grew up... It tickles me when I hear people say, for women cooking, because I grew up with my grandfather cooking and my father cooking. So I never thought that cooking was relegated only to women. And I think that is another one of our traditions that is not serving us well. Because in a lot of instances, like the women are out working and the man can, you know, be home or whatever, and he will not cook because it's woman's work, or the woman thinks he can't cook because she's supposed to cook because she's a woman. We have to, I think, get rid of all of these stereotypical notions that keep us from aiding and helping each other. Because like the sister said, if the woman is not cooking and the man thinks he's not supposed to cook, then they got to eat out, got to trust somebody else's food. Whereas if they're both okay with the idea that it's not they, I'll use that term, I know it's politically incorrect, but it's not gay for the guy to cook, you know, and they have big productions and expose men who cook and make big money off of this notion of men who cook. Whoever cooks the food, whoever pours the love into the pot, we need that rather than going out to eat because the woman has to work. And that's just me thinking that.
Okay, good word. And I wanted to add that Sister Deborah was talking about being careful about the food, which we do because food is used as a tool. And like she mentioned, the black farmers that just a few years ago were deceived and given some bad seed, huge amounts. For farmers, they were planting big, big, vast tracts of land, and they were given seed that did not germinate. It was intentionally done. And we've got to have the capacity that whatever Francis Welsing, our ancestor, Francis Welsing, when she was years ago on South Carolina television with Lister Belt Middleton, they would most of the time have a table between the chair that she was sitting in and the chair that Listerbelt was sitting in. And she said, which is very vital that we hold on to this, she said, we must get our mind on the black side of the chessboard. And so that whenever a move is made from the other side, counter their move to keep them from checkmating us. And whatever they do, we've got to counter their moves. We shouldn't be fussing and cussing and griping and stomping about it. We just get busy and do something appropriate to correct it on our behalf. And if they're bringing food as a tool to poison us, then we got to step up and get busier growing our own food indoors and outdoors. And we've got to maximize on the nutritional value that we get out of food and make it the most effective and efficient. And cooking is not the most effective and efficient. I mean, it's got its benefits. That's why I mentioned earlier talking about moving to a place where 70 or 75% of what you eat would be raw. In Dick Gregory's book, it says, Cooking with Mother Nature. And it says inside the book, the sun has cooked the apple and the orange and avocados and all of that. And if you take the apple and the orange and the avocado and cook it, you're devitalizing it, you're killing it, and you're doing the same thing to yourself. Instead of having yourself being nutrified with vitality of live avocado or apples, orange, things like that, mangoes, you cook it and you devitalize it, or you just cook the life out of it, and so then it's dead, nutritionally dead. And so that's why we've got all of these kidney dialysis centers, because they're consuming nutritionally dead, nutricide-type food. And we've got to do something about it. And then when we go with, from the plant-based perspective, with mostly raw, it cuts down on the whole efficiency of everything. How much do you need to eat, but it also how many utensils would you need to prepare it? But when people go widespread that every meal got to have a lot of cooked stuff, they also accumulate a whole lot of utensils that they use. And some people, I'm one of them, that for the most part, unless I was cutting something in the preparation, I just eat with one utensil, a spoon. And I very, very rarely would use anything else, including a fork. We can simplify and still be well. And we can make it difficult, but we can make it less difficult. And for me, wellness, as I said earlier, is easier. I've experienced easier. And the ones that I grew up with, it's very difficult for them, the ones that are still alive. So we got to be about that, and we got to get ourselves and the earth back to the way it was before the invaders came. And the brother mentioned about the hospital. We need to stay away from there. And so wellness is a way to stay away from there. We wouldn't have to go there at all. As one brother wrote in the last several months or so, he said, at a minimum, you should never have to go to a hospital unless you broke your neck. And even at that, I'm sure that somewhere in Africa, there's some sisters or brothers that would actually know how to take care of that. I just haven't been fortunate enough to meet one yet. But we used to be able to go right ahead, sister. Sure.
The
I can't hear you.
The disease management system that we are used to interacting with is a new system. It only came about in the early 1900s with the Rockefeller takeover of the natural medicines. So it's only how many generations, three, maybe four, that were programmed to think that everything requires a visit to the doctor or a visit to the hospital. That's the new thing. So it's really a return to the way of, like, my grandmother. So when we were sick, we didn't go to the doctor unless it was something really serious going on that she couldn't take care of. But she You know, if we had a fever, you get the white cloth with put the collard greens in it and tie it around your neck, I mean around your head, and go to sleep and wake up in the morning with the fever gone. You know, he would give us turpentine and sugar for certain things. I think that was for worms. I forget. But anyway, those are things that those people are not so far removed from us, but we watch TV and we are encouraged to ask your doctor or go to the hospital and, you know, trust the experts. Or like Fauci said, you know, trust the science. There's no science. They're making stuff up as they go along. But we are programmed to accept everything they say is gospel. And that is our main problem, I think, that we are encouraged to operate as if everything they tell us is true. And that's the proper way to do everything. And it's all of that stuff is really new. The test of time. It has not been proven by the test of time, because in 100 years they've killed more people with their so-called medicine than we can imagine. By their own admission, they kill 300,000 people in the United States alone every year. So why would we trust them? Why do we believe anything they tell us? And your point is very well taken, that we need to get back to the things that work, that will keep us healthy, and as Brother Shabaka said, keep us out of those hospitals.
Yes, I agree with it. And a brother in the last few years went to Africa and stayed there for a period of time. And one of the family members that he didn't know had made that transition. And in Africa, when a person transitions to be an ancestor, there's a celebration and mourning. And in the celebration that he participated in, they actually were handing family members a T-shirt that actually had the picture of the person, and it had their birth date and their transition date. And this particular service that celebration that he was participating in, the person was at least 200 years old.
Okay.
And so the brother went on to say that in his experience, he found out in talking to the family, that it's just not coming out in the media here, but there's lots of African people that's way, way over 100 years old. And it's something that's achievable by us being born here in this land, African people born here, that we are able to do such things. And just in the last year, or either early part of this year, a sister that in her 70s, I believe it is, she got into physical fitness. But anyway, in her 90s, when I first found out about it and started watching her, her name is Ida Keeling, I-D-A Keeling, K-E-E-L-I-N-G. But in her 90s, she was doing push-ups and running 50-yard dash or something like that. And she said, I intend to never stop running. And when she made her last move, she was 106 years old. So we got to stop accepting this foolishness and including conversations about getting old. Because when you repeat those words, the cells and muscles in our body, and researchers will say, it's called epigenetics, I believe, that your cells and your muscles listen to everything you tell it. And if you said, I'm old, it'll say, okay, well, then we're going to have your cells and muscles going to respond to your command. But if you said, I'm still young, if you say, and you feed yourself young, and you feel young, and you're energetic, and you can bend over, touch your toes, or squat down on the floor, or in the natural way of eliminating waste, you squat. It's like giving birth to a child. Well, there's a whole bunch of folks that when it comes to squatting, if they squatted down, they couldn't get back up, which is a problem. But we got to correct all of those things, and we got to stop letting this lordy, lordy, look who's 40 then turn old. Get that stuff out of your head and live and eat and behave and think and move every day out in the sunshine, walking barefooted and all of those things in a clean place, in a safe place, without dog manure and everything all over the place. And we can elevate and have a totally different experience than the ones that are doing the Nutricide diet and participating in the high blood pressure and kidney dialysis stuff. That is all solvable. It's all solvable with going back, cooking with Mother Nature and consuming the natural diet and what the natural universal sources like the sun and the moon and the air and the stars and all of those things and the wind provides for us to nourish us, to heal us, and to make the plants grow. And family members, we thank you so much. I definitely enjoyed being in the circle with you. And we've got to share some more words again. We'll be back here next Thursday. And nature and the universe has always provided unlimited nourishing and healing, unlimited modalities of what we could use to be well. And we got to break away from this socialized programming that's got us duped. Get away from the television and get away from the toxic whatever, including pots and pans.
Thank you, Brother Sermon. We want to thank everyone that joined us this evening. Please join us again next Thursday evening, 9 o'clock Eastern Time, for another installment of Dare to Win. Peace.
Peace.
Shadows of a love that's so divine, and the glow of that love would light the sky up above, and it's free. Can't you see? Come with me. The Creator has a master. And happiness for every man. The Creator has a master plan. Happiness for every man. The Creator has a working plan. one demand happiness through all.